The way that is straight leading up to the King of that home up in heaven above. When we land on that shore, plain and tall will be gone. We will dwell there in peace and love.
In 1 Samuel chapter 3, and I want to read the first 10 verses to you before I make a few remarks from this particular chapter. The scripture says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and he lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. We read here of the account of Samuel's call to service. We, of course, remember that Samuel was a child born unto Hannah after much prayer had been offered, and that Hannah had made an oath and a promise unto God that if the Lord would give her a child, that she would dedicate that child to his service. And the dedication that Hannah made to the service of God by this child is that she left this child at the disposal of the priest named Eli. He lived there at the temple. He lived with Eli, this man. And He was left there by his mother. It was a promise that Hannah had made, said that the Lord bless me with a child and I'll dedicate that child to your service. It's certainly a noble thing for us to do whenever we're blessed with anything from God above is to dedicate it to the service of God. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm condoning the oath that was made, but I tell you, anything that we receive of God, it should be used to the utmost of His service, and Samuel was no exception. But we read here, and I'd like to take just a few minutes and notice four identifying marks that are upon a servant called of God. Four identifying marks of a servant called of God. We read here that Samuel is laid down to sleep, and the Scripture says that the lamp that was in that temple had begun to wax dim and that it had almost gone out. If you're familiar with the law that God had given unto Moses, and you go back to the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus, what you'll read about that lamp is that it was the minister's job to make sure that that lamp never went out. It was the role of the ministry and the Levitical priesthood to make sure that that lamp never went out. That lamp was to always burn as a symbol of the Lord's presence among us, as He has never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's not one who sleeps on the job, and that lamp was to burn always. But the Scripture records that that lamp was about to go out. And you say, Brother Will, why was the lamp about to go out? It's because we have read, not only here, but in other places, that the ministry of Eli was a failure. It was a failure. He was a slothful minister unto God. He chose to side with his children as opposed to side with the people of God when his sons were doing reckless things and abominable things in the eyes of God. And he condoned it as opposed to addressing it and confronting it as a minister should. And so we're reading here of a slothful minister, but nevertheless, one of the identifying marks of a servant called of God, which Samuel was, and that's what this scripture is recording, is that God's calling him into His service. One of the identifying marks is that the ministry will recognize it. The priesthood, the priests will recognize when a man is called to be a servant of God. You say, Brother Will, does that mean that all it takes is a minister to say that somebody's in the congregation is being called of God, and that's all that it takes is them to say, well, he's called, so therefore he needs to be utilized, he needs to be used in that capacity? No, I said there's four. You got to bear with me. But one of them is that the ministry will recognize that that man has a call to serve God. And you say, Brother Will, can you apply this outside of the context of the ministry? Yes. You can apply this. You can apply these principles to any calling that any servant has in the service to the kingdom of God. And that is that the one who God has placed over that particular flock will see that God has placed that person in that capacity. The Lord will bring the light to the overseer who is over the flock. You know, we read over in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. Flip with me just a second and hold your spot there. And flip with me over to 1 Peter chapter 5 where the Lord identifies some things about the ministry and what he refers to it. He says, the elders, verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort. In other words, I encourage, I admonish, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. You know, there's some things that, you know, I've never, as I told you last week and as I continue to try to encourage you, never ever allow Brother Will or any other minister to tell you, just trust me. There's some things that if I can't take you to God's Word and say this is the reason why it's right, then you don't need to just trust somebody. But the man who God has placed as an overseer of a particular flock will see that a man is called to be a servant. And this man, even Eli, even as disobedient and as slothful as Eli was, he knew what was happening unto Samuel. He said, I have not called you. It was not me that had called your name. Go back and lie down. He went back three times, and on the fourth time, he told Samuel, he said, this is of the Lord. It was of the Lord, and he recognized it as being a minister. He recognized this is God's call. There's some things that come into a person's life. And I tell you, if we trust in the order that the Lord has established in the New Testament church, and that is that a pastor is the overseer of the flock, we need to trust that God is going to bless the overseer to be able to see that there's things working in the midst of the children who he's overseeing. I tell you, there's things that a good shepherd will see that other people just won't see. You know, I can remember, and I know I continue to go back to these analogies, but I tell you, the Lord used agricultural examples, and I trust that you won't grow weary of them. Please bear patient with me. I told you this story, but I remember growing up that my minister growing up used to tell so many agricultural stories, and I just remember thinking, ma'am, not another one, not another one. But I look back, and all of them were right on what he was trying to teach. But I can remember riding in the truck with my daddy as a child, and him looking out on the flock of 125 herd, a herd of 125 calves. And that's a lot of cows to look at. But he could look in the eyes of one, and it looked normal to me. But he could say, that one's about to have a... I remember him telling the workers, we need to keep an eye on him. He's got something wrong with his eye. I'm looking at him, it looks normal to me. And a couple of days later, it swelled up with some kind of pus-looking something that you'd want to stay 100 yards away from. There's certain things that he was able to see. And Samuel here came to Eli, and Eli was able to identify, this is the Lord calling you, boy. This is something that God is working on the midst of you. This is not me. It has to be of God if we're going to be a servant of God. It cannot be by man. It is by the Lord that a man is called to be a servant. He says not only that the Scripture not only teaches us that it's something that the ministry will recognize. The second identifying mark here by using Samuel as an example is that he'll grow. Is that he'll grow. He'll grow. Verse 19 tells us here in 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says, and Samuel grew. And Samuel grew. It says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and didn't let none of his words fall to the ground. The Scripture says that Samuel grew in his ministry. You know, one of the things that will become weary to a congregation, if a minister doesn't grow, and if the same sermons are over and over again, recited over and over again, you know, people begin to tend to grow hungry. And the way that you identify whether or not the Lord is blessing a man, whether or not the Lord is walking with a man, is that he's growing in his ministry. You know, one of the things that a pastor can see amongst the flock is that they're growing in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that their last works are greater than the first, that they're learning things about the Word of God, that they're learning how to interact with others in more of a Christian manner. You know, I use that term, I hope you understand what I mean. It means it's more Christ-like. It means that Christ is beaming from us more and more. We're growing at the house of God. These are identifying marks of a servant of God. The child grew. You know, if we go back to chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, what you'll read is that Hannah brought him another coat year after year after year. And we understand that that means that he was growing physically in stature. But I think there's also a picture there that the child grew. What a great leader this was. If you have a chart outline that you want to number the effective leaders amongst the people of Israel, you can't tell me that Samuel wouldn't be up there amongst some of the top ones that led the people of God, that was a faithful servant that God had called him into. He grew. A minister of the gospel whose God's hand is upon will grow. He'll grow. You know, it's necessary of us here in this life to grow. There's two ways that you can move in your service to God. You can move forward or you can move backwards. And you say, Brother Will, I feel right now like I'm just kind of standing still. You're moving backwards then. You're not standing still in your service. The Scripture teaches us, be ye therefore steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord. That doesn't mean that that when we say being steadfast, that you're advancing something that's never been taught. No, it means don't budge upon the principles of Christ, but you're supposed to move forward in your growth in the church. And there's some identifying marks here that the Scripture teaches us that if a man is called, he'll do. One is, the ministry will recognize it. You know, if you've ever heard or seen, if you've ever been at a church service where a young brother gets up to say a few words, what's the ministry? They may have been chattering, may have been doing something other than paying full attention, but you watch whenever the one that they've never heard gets up there, because they want to hear, they want to know whether or not this man is called of God. The first is that the ministry will recognize it. The second is that they'll grow. The third is that he'll gain favor amongst the people. He'll gain favor amongst the people. Verse 20 says, and all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And you say, Brother Will, now that sounds to me like you're teaching that he'll be popular. No, not all the time. As a matter of fact, bear with me here in just a second, because the fourth one shows us that it doesn't always mean that they'll do what's popular. If you show me one that's just doing what's popular, I won't tell you that he wasn't called by God into his service. But I'll tell you that that doesn't mean that he's always listening to God. The scripture says, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. When all men speak well of you, that means that there's some things that you're just doing just for the popularity of it. That means that you're not necessarily doing what God has called you to do. But all of Dan, even to Beersheba, recognized that God was with this man. That God's hand was upon him. That he had called him to be the last judge, the first prophet of the people. That he was going to lead them. There's some identifying marks that the Lord has given us. That God's hand is upon people. You know, I see people even, if you take it outside the context of the kingdom of God. And you even go into the political realm of this world. No, I'm not about to preach politics, but I can tell you there's some things that I've seen in people that I believe God's hands upon them. There's some things that I've seen even in the individual lives of children of God and things that they're involved with out here in this world, whether it be athletics, whether it be some type of something that they're involved with in school. And I see that the Lord's hand is upon them. And I see that they've gained the favor of God. And the same thing goes with the servant of God, is he'll gain the favor of the people. He'll gain the favor of the people. You know, one of the things that'll... that'll ruin a child of God is to not listen to one whenever we've seen that God's favor is upon him. It's to completely neglect. You know, verse 19 says that, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. You know, I look back on the many words of wisdom that parents, ministers, pastors, fathers in the ministry, loved ones have given me. And I look back and I see them on the ground. I see them on the ground. And you know, you can pick them up. And you can put them in your pocket. And I trust that they'll be there when I need them again. But I tell you, I should have listened to them when they were told to. The servant of God that's blessed by God will gain favor amongst the people so that the words won't fall to the ground. Because who's the source of the words? It's from God. And they're not letting the messages go. They're not letting the truth fall to the ground. They're rejoicing in it. He says that the minute we read here that Eli recognized God's calling of Samuel, that he grew and that he gained favor amongst the people. The last one I will call your attention to is that he boldly spoke what God told him to say. He boldly spoke what God told him to say. If we read, and I got time to read it, start with reading with me in verse 11, and we'll read down to verse 18. For the scripture says, and the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to shew Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said to thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. He had to tell a man about his ruin right to his face. You know, a lot of times people will think, you know, it must be easy to be a preacher. You've got the authority of God to say what you think needs to be said. Be it far from you to think that that's an easy thing to do. It's not. But Samuel did it. He told Eli, your house is fixing to collapse. Your house is fixing to be removed. Because you've been disobedient, He's fixing to remove you from his service. He's fixing to punish Israel for it. It was punishment for all of Israel because of the leader. Do you understand this morning that God's model throughout Scripture has not just been to chasten and punish the one who, the violator, if you will, but also the people who He leads. That's a model that God uses throughout His Word. Is not only all the ones who are doing wrong punished, but those who follow are punished as well. And what He told Eli, He stood before him and He told him what God had showed to him. He boldly did it. You know, I believe it's exercise that Samuel was getting here of the other trials and the other challenges that the Lord was going to place before him. Later on in his life, he had to go tell a king, "You're king no more." I tell you, Samuel, if you think he had an easy walk with God in the service, if you think that your walk with God it involves no hurdles that you have to jump, it involves no fences you have to climb, it involves no mountains you have to climb, you're not reading the same book that I'm reading. There's things that are not so easy to do. It's not so easy to do sometimes. And you say, "Brother Will, how do I take this and apply it to me? I don't feel a calling to preach." You know, there's some things that you know that need to be said, maybe to your children, maybe to your spouse. And God has shown us that if it needs to be said, it needs to be said. And He'll bless you in doing it. Here you've got a man that had the boldness to speak. You know, if you remember the authority that the ones who watched Jesus Christ speak, it was His authority and the boldness that He spake in that made them realize who He was. He spake not as the scribe, but one who had authority, is what those said at the base of the mountain. They said it was by His boldness. You know, some people would say, "Well, Brother Will, does that mean this by the how loud the voice is of the minister?" No. It doesn't mean how loud. It doesn't mean how quiet. It just means that there's a boldness and an authority there that comes by the word of the Almighty God. And that means that the Lord is with this man. And the Lord was with Samuel. And these are the identifying marks of a called servant of God. The ministry will know it. The flock will know it. The person will grow, and he'll boldly proclaim what the truths are of this book. You know, we don't have to boldly proclaim any more prophecy. You know, it doesn't lie on our backs anymore to determine whether or not a man is a prophet. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, you know, it gives us the credentials that a man must have if he's a prophet. And he outlines if the thing comes to pass, then he's a prophet. If it happens not, then you can know he was not telling the things from God. You know, we don't have to worry about that anymore. What you and I have is this book right here in front of us. And if a man of God proclaims what's in it with boldness, it's an identifying mark that God's called him into His service. If your parents tell you things that are in this book, and they tell you with authority, it's not just coming from so saith the parents. You know, it's all right just to say that. You know, some people struggle in this world with the idea that you can't just tell a child because I said so. You know, some people won't just do that. They say, "Well, I feel like I need to tell them why." Oh, that's fine. But you know, you don't have to. You as their parent can just say, "Oh, I said so." And you can tell them later on why you feel like that's the truth. But it can be just because you said so. You know, there's a lot of people who feel like you have to show them everything. And they'll drive themselves crazy by thinking that you've got... You know, there's answers that if you come to me as your pastor and you say, "Brother Will, I just can't grasp this particular subject. I just can't grasp this thing. I can't tell you for sure if I'd be able to answer it for you." But does that mean that you're not at the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Does that mean that you're not worshiping in truth and in spirit? No. You know, there's just some things that we've got to figure out along the way. And there's some things that by authority God has shown us. And you know, there's some boldness that was with this young boy. He even told a man about his own ruin to his face. There's some marks that exist upon those that are called servants of God, called servants of God. And I pray that the Lord would bless us to utilize those and to store those marks in our memory so that we can use them for His service here in this world. I thank You for Your kind, sweet attention, and thankful also for the remarks made by Brother Brad and Brother Rick.
Become the spotless holy.